The parliamentary elections in Georgia were marked by serious irregularities that are not compatible with the standards expected from a candidate country.
Tady jsou bruselské chlebíčky, váš průvodce zákulisím politiky v Evropské unii.
Government of Georgia has suspended accession process to the European Union and is enforcing laws based on Russian model. Georgian citizens have been protesting against it for months, and the government has deployed heavy-duty troops against them. For these steps, it is facing criticism from the West, including the EU. Our exclusive guest has firmly sided with the demonstrators and is still acting as the president of the country, even though its current government has elected a person from its ranks to the head of state. Does Georgia still have a European future, and how difficult is its present? How much does neighboring Russia influence it, and what is it at stake in Georgia? That's what this special English edition of Brussels Bytes podcast will be about. Enjoy it, wish you Filip Nerad.
Our guest today is President Salome Zurabišvili at the Václav Havel Library in Prague, where she came for a visit. Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you still believe in Georgia's EU future after the current government suspended accession talks with EU until 2028, last November?
I believe in the capacity and the will of the Georgian population to go back to what has been its European aspiration for almost ever. I don't believe in the current Georgian government to deliver that, but we will get back to that path.
Why did Georgian government do this? The prime minister at that time said that it was a reaction to a cascade of insults against Georgia by the EU. What was the real reason? The freezing of the accession process by the EU last June due to the controversial law of foreign influence or anything else?
No, the freezing came from the government. It didn't come from the European Union. And it is really the result of a long policy of insulting our European partners from the government. It started with the Russian law, accusing our European partners and our American partners of being the global war party, very similar to Russian propaganda, that they wanted war, they wanted a second front in Georgia to support Ukraine. And all of that, inspired directly by Moscow, is what really triggered this 180 degrees turn of Georgia from its European path to what is a Russian path.
What or where was the breaking point when the, let's say, the pro-European, pro-Western Georgia turned to the, let's say, Russian?
It's not the pro-European Georgia that turns away. It's a handful, a clan, proxies of Moscow, oligarchs, that the main oligarch and other small oligarchs that are really serving the interests of Russia. And Russia and Georgia is trying something that is a different hybrid strategy based on manipulation of elections, based on propaganda, based on proxy oligarchs, to try to reestablish its exclusive domination of Georgia and of the region, because it goes beyond Georgia. And what is attempted in Georgia, and I hope it won't succeed because people are still resisting, is something that might be used elsewhere afterwards. Because the it comes, and the turning point was, I think, the start of the war of aggression in Ukraine, which didn't work. The 3 days to take over Kiev didn't work, and the following months and years didn't work either to establish the Russian domination over Ukraine. So that inspired Russia to be looking actively for a different strategy without cost, not military, based on propaganda. And if it were to succeed in Georgia, which is such a anti-Russian country that knows that I experimented all the different aggressions of Russia, Soviet, Imperial Russia for the past 2.5 centuries. If that can work in Georgia, then it could work anywhere else. So what we are fighting now, we are fighting something that in which we are also defending the European partners, the European democracies from the same fate.
You said that Georgia is still the pro-European, pro-Western country. According to the polls, 80% of people still believes in EU and this part.
After the decision of the government.
Yeah. But why was the government successful in, let's say, capturing the country?
Because capturing a country, usurpating power, is a question of power. So they had power in their hand. The elections were rigged. With the help of Russia, with the help of directly Russian propagandists and electoral specialists, and lots of money and lots of propaganda. And they have all the means in their hands. It's a one party, one man rule that holds today all the institutions. And we've been fighting that for the past 2 years and a bit more. But gradually they've taken over all the different institutions, starting with the one that is so central in every country, which is justice. When you don't have an independent justice system, then you cannot keep any institutions out of the hands of the people that want to really capture the state and the institutions.
Could you describe us the current situation in Georgia? Of a state, of a society, because we can see mainly the daily demonstrations against the government, but in what state is Georgia today?
Not very far from 1937. We have commissions that are calling in political parties. There are threats of interdicting all the political parties. There are people that are being arrested and are in jail without any reason, just for peaceful protesting, for crossing the street, and accused of all different things which they cannot prove the contrary of, because there is no justice system. There are fines of $2,000 for people that have a minimum wage of $500 maybe, and not one fine, but one, two, three, four, five for protesting so many days. So it's fear. People are dismissed from their jobs just for having liked a Facebook post or signed a petition. The cultural scene is also completely constrained, no freedom. I will give you a very good example. You are the public radio, our public channel. There was a meeting of the board just 2 weeks ago in which the few journalists that had expressed different views were accused by the board of anti-state activities, and that they would refer them to the prosecutor's office. That sounds very much like very old days in the past Soviet regime. So that's what they're trying to do, is to instill fear. Repressions is being used. What I can say is that for the time being, and I'm sure that it's going to last, because this movement is also very much led by people, by young people that are born after the independence of Georgia. And they're not ready to accept to see Georgia go back in the old ways of the Soviet times. But it's a standoff. It's a very difficult time, very heavy time, but they're still not leaving the country, which maybe is the hope, secret hope of those that are trying to usurpate power.
We mentioned the demonstrations. You personally took part in it, and not even from some stage, but you were directly in between the demonstrators, facing face-to-face to the heavy-duty policemen. How it is to face, let's say, your own forces?
It's very challenging to see that, but these are not the regular police forces. I think that the regular police forces in Georgia are in a very difficult position themselves because they're under pressure. And for that reason, they have used the statushki, which are the illegal forces that they use in Belarus, in Russia also, they are distilling the fear. They're trying to catch people on the streets rather than directly. There was violence at the beginning on the streets, but they have understood that this drags the attention of the foreign press. So they're now using these alternate strategies, which is to attack people on the back, in their apartments, on the streets, in the metro, and that shows less and attracts less attention. But I think that we are seeing there too the destruction of an institution, because when you ask policemen to come to the courts and make perjuries just to sustain wrong accusations against people, these police no longer defend citizens. They are used to accuse citizens or to threaten citizens. And tomorrow you won't be able to rely on that police force in the same way as we used to rely. Now, for instance, during the commission that has just been set, that looks very much like a 1937 commission, attacking and convoking everyone, the way they were talking to generals of the Georgian army is very destructive of the trust that the population should have and the respect that a normal country should have towards its own army. And if it serves any aim, it serves certainly the Russian interests and policy.
Do you feel, I mean, you in Georgia, the support of European Union and European member states? Because we saw, for example, calling of European Parliament the last year election as undemocratic, denouncing a visa-free regime for Georgian diplomats and officials, or imposing sanctions on Georgian officials responsible for the violent suppression of the demonstration. For example, here in the Czech Republic, recently three officials were put on the national sanction list. So do the Georgian people feel this support, and does it help them?
Well, they feel some support. You mentioned the resolution of the European Parliament. The fact that I'm talking tomorrow in front of the Parliament is also very important. I've been speaking in front of the Commissions of Foreign Affairs of some of other countries. Yesterday I was at a large meeting of democracy of the ruling party in France, and so on. So they feel that type of support. I think that they do not feel enough, or there is not enough support of the European institutions as such. So we understand the difficulties with some countries and the consensus laws that limit the possibilities of action and decision of the European Union. But that is a very major concern. Because Georgia is a small country, one that has been granted the candidate status just more than a year ago, that has been striving for democracy and independence forever, and very European at heart. Even some of the supporters of the ruling party want to see Georgia in Europe, most of them, I would say. And if European Union cannot have a coherent policy towards Georgia, one that is expressed, not only some condemnations here and there, but more than that, just a vision of what's happening in Georgia, a judgment, condemnation of the whole policy, and saying what European Union feels that it has to do there, then it's putting a question on the credibility of European Union's foreign policy. And when that is happening at a time where we see very good vibes in the European Union to start talking about serious rearmament and taking strong decisions, it's a bit disturbing to see that there are not strong decisions regarding Georgia coming from the European Union as such. Again, I'm not talking about some individual European partners, which are very strong in supporting Georgia. So that's this mixed feeling that the Georgian population has. And of course, it's very important because they know they're alone. They know that they are the ones that are going to fight to the end. They're not expecting that somebody is going to come and fight for them. But they need to be seen. And more than that, they need our partners to understand what is happening in Georgia, how that is first of all a tragedy, and that can happen anywhere else. So that's what the population probably wants to see more. Yeah.
And how in practice should these strong steps or strong support look like, in your opinion? Should it be some sanctions against the government? Or, on contrary, still supporting Georgia's EU future, calling for unfreezing of these accession talks? What would be the strong sign for the Georgian from the EU side?
The strong sign would be a clear policy that would say, well, if you want the European future, you have to hold new elections, because that is what democracy requires when there is 5 months of a deep crisis with no perspective either way. That means that you have to go back to the legitimate owner of the will of the people, and that's elections in a democracy. So I think that the European Union should take a stand for elections, should also support the organization of the elections, because we cannot have the same Russian-type rigged elections. And they should put in front of the Georgian population the choice that the government has to make, and carrot and stick, both. Stick, if they don't do it by such and such date, it has to be very firm. And carrot, if they start moving in the right direction, of course, it cannot be just one side. But it has to be expressed as a policy, and we have not seen that for the time being. We have seen small here and there statements. I'm talking again about the European Union, not about, for instance, the Czech either parliament or government or other countries. Some of them have taken very strong stands. But the European Union, for its own credibility, has to be able to formulate a real policy towards Georgia. And that's what we're expecting. Mm.
You already mentioned the role of Russia. Can you be more specific? What role plays Russia in current Georgia, how it influenced the current development of the
country?
Well,
it probably has very direct ties with the people that are today ruling Georgia, the ruling oligarch and the clan around him. These ties, of course, are very difficult to prove and identify, but they're seen in the fact that we have, in the past 3-4 months, seen a succession almost every day of new laws that are taken by the parliament, because there is one party in the parliament, so no debate. Every day they take they adopt these laws, and these laws are copycat of the laws that Russia used to suppress civil society in Russia just a couple of years ago. So we are copying, we are following the model of Russia with lots of support. Mr. Putin and the other spokesperson for the Russian leaders are very regularly saying how they appreciate the behavior of the current ruling party, that they are in the right direction. And the themes that are used by those propagandists in Georgia are exactly the same as what you hear in Moscow and sometimes in some European countries. But they are really the copy of Moscow's propaganda, LGBT, the war party today, deep state, used for in a very incomprehensible manner, because they're even accusing Mr. Trump of being deep state. So it's not very clear whether they have a understanding of what they're saying, but they're copying the Russian propaganda language very, very directly and very closely.
Could be Georgia next target of Russia, as it was 2008.
But that's what it is. We are the target today.
But not of the, let's say, not on the war front. But
no need. The war front has not really brought the results that Russia was expecting. It didn't bring, in 2008, Georgia did not stop its European integration path, which was probably the objective of the war. It didn't bring the result in Ukraine. Ukraine, after 3 years, has not stopped and is not dominated by Russia, and Russia has not managed to take control over the whole of Ukraine. Russia is not sure that it will take control of Ukraine through the peace talks. So what is Russia saying in Ukraine? It's saying, why don't we have a neutral administration? I don't know what that means. And elections, democratic elections. Why does Putin say that? Because he has been testing in Georgia the democratic elections, Russian style. It has worked to a certain extent. Then you need a few oligarchs, you can find them also in Ukraine, that you control completely. And then you start putting in effect the Russian model with the laws, Russian law, Russian law bis, then all the repressive laws that restrict the right to demonstrate, the freedom of expression, the public channel, all the other medias, all the financing. Yesterday they just adopted a new law, and there is one every day almost, that says that the foreign institutions, yours for instance, cannot finance in Georgia any seminar or any colloquium or something of that kind. So it's not only direct financing of Georgian organizations that is precluded now, but even our partners cannot help us to organize an international conference or something of that kind. Mm-hmm. And it's every day. And when you think that now they are finished, they have done everything that they could, there is something new that happens.
So would you say that this what happens in Georgia should be warning to other European countries or even the EU itself what Russia is able to do?
I think that Russia is very tempted by using this hybrid strategy, and it has tried some elements of that in different countries. It's a strategy that doesn't cost anything, no military equipment, no human losses, even if it doesn't matter very much for Russians as we know, but still. And it's an indirect strategy, so there are no sanctions in return. Nobody has sanctioned Russia for what it's doing now in Georgia. And so I think that if the test works in Georgia, which is a very reluctant country, as Russia knows, then it can be tested anywhere. And even more in countries that have no experience of Russian propaganda and Russian domination. We have some experience. That's why we are resisting and resilient, because we know that peaceful protests, even if they are repressed, sometimes violently, sometimes in more dubious ways, that it's worth resisting, because you finally get where the population wants to go. And there is no doubt whatsoever about what is the fundamental aspiration of the Georgian population.
You were formerly French citizen and diplomat before you became a Georgian politician, first Minister of Foreign Affairs and then later President. Does this EU background help you anyhow in your efforts that you are formerly French?
Of course it helps to know from the inside the European institutions, to know how what affects the decision of our European partners. And it also helps to know what is the essence of the European democracy that we in Georgia want to reach, and that is to have a justice system that is strong enough to resist everything, the oligarchs, the Russian propaganda, and without a justice system you cannot do that. So,
and could you still use your old contacts on Quai d'Orsay or your diplomatic contacts from the old times in Paris or anywhere else?
Not from the old times, from the new times. But yes, I think that I have an easier access to some of the leaders today in Europe, because of my background. But that is very important to have those contacts because that's what keeps us, the Georgian population that is resisting, from isolation, and that is extremely important.
I would like to, for the end, return back to the first question. So you still believe that Georgia is not missing the EU path. Now we can see Ukraine and Moldova are trying very hard to get as close as possible to EU. So are you not worried that this period might slow down the aspiration of Georgia?
I don't think it will slow down the aspiration or the ambition of Georgians to be where they have thought always that they should be. Of course, we might have time delays. We also had accelerations because really the candidate status that Georgia received, it received it thanks to Ukraine's fight, because it accelerated something that was not planned so quickly. And there have been times when Georgia was the front runner and Ukraine and Moldova, in fact, at that time, I was a president when I received them in Georgia, and we initiated the trio of the associate members. So we know that history had these ups and downs. What is very important here, we can always recuperate the time lost, but what is very important is that Russia is not given the chance to close in on Georgia, because then it won't be a question of time or delay. It will close down this future for us. So there we need the support of our friends and partners, because the future of Georgia and what is at stake in Georgia is a challenge for them all.
So you still believe you will catch that,
I
right?
I always believe.
Said the guest of today's Brussels Bites, fifth president of Georgia, Salome Zurabashvili. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for listening us. Goodbye and all the best to wish you, Filip Nerad.